Thank you, and welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr in the North Dakota Corn Council. Today afternoon, we visit with somebody from the Corn Council or someone they select. And today, they've selected Joe Eichle, NDSU Extension Weed Specialist. Good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon, Mick. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. I'm needing rain. I'd like a little rain. Most farmers would like rain so their seeds will germinate. But, man alive, we need rain to activate some of these pre's guys of either thinking about, wanting to put down, or have put down.
Yep, yeah, and we're in the same boat with our research. We're like, we're spraying some pre's right now, and we sure would like some rain to activate that. But, of course, we just kind of pale in comparison to all the weeds everyone out there needs to control.
Yeah. Now, over my long and wonderful life, I've had a few people say to me once or twice, say it, don't spray it. But I counter with, say it and spray it. Man, what a beautiful day today and tomorrow to do some spraying. The wind is perfect.
Yeah, the wind is perfect, and there's enough of a glimpse, at least we've seen locally in the forecast, and we may get some of that rain you were talking about, so we're letting it fly, and I'm sure there's plenty of free rigs out there doing the same.
You bet. All right. So, what pre's are going down right now, and what should we be going down for which weeds?
So right now, a lot of soybeans have really gone in the ground over the last week, and starting this week as well. So that's one of our bigger crops we definitely want to get a pre on, and we're going after our driving weeds such as common ragweed, water hemp. Some lamb's quarter is one that we can have a lot of effective options, but a lot of the best options are any of our pre-emergent herbicides for lamb's quarter. So as long as we're getting our pre on and can get some rain activation, we should have a pretty good head start against those three weeds there, definitely.
Now, lamb's quarter, how does everybody have an issue with lamb's quarter, or is it more geographically centered in certain spots?
Lamb's quarter is pretty ubiquitous. So we can find it in just about any field. It's really one of those that we'll see year in and year out that if we don't get a pre on, then sometimes we can have difficulty, if I'm thinking of soybeans, to clean it up with glyphosate or glufosinate. It's just a tougher weed to control post-emergence, but any one of our pre's does a pretty decent job on it. So it's basically in every field, and we get questions every year, but it's in the grand scheme of things, compared to something like water hemp or ragweed, it's a little bit easier to control.
Good. All right. But there are weeds which are unique to each crop. And as you mentioned, soybeans are just going in the ground gangbusters right now. Corn hopefully is well on its way to being done. We'll find out here shortly what USDA says as far as planting progress. But in the world, let's start with corn. What management systems, weed management systems, are starting to get used up a little bit, whether it's some of the traits which the weeds are starting to outsmart.
Yeah, and if I focus in on corn a little bit, some of the ones we're probably most concerned about would be our also the newer technologies in soybeans, so dicamba and 2,4-D. So we've basically been able to use dicamba for a lot of years in corn, basically since we've had corn and dicamba together. And so that's been pretty effective for us in corn, able to tank mix it, especially with things like atrazine to get good activity. And so as we start getting more concerns about some dicamba resistance in soybeans, you start looking at our usage in corn, and hopefully we're not slipping too much there. We haven't used as much 2,4-D in corn historically, just because corn's a little bit more sensitive to 2,4-D, and we can lean some corn over pretty easily. But the growth regulators are kind of top of my list for concern. Our group 27 herbicides, such as Balance, Callisto, Lotus, we can start using Balance in some soybean varieties now, not in the state of North Dakota, but in some select counties in Minnesota. So if we switch towards using that in the LLGT27 soybeans, then that would be another one that's kind of high on my list of concerns for the corn products moving forward. But currently, we're still sitting actually pretty good for a lot of our corn herbicides. We were able to do some good pre-mixes with atrazine and a group 27. If we throw in one of our group 15 herbicides like Harness or Dual, we can get some pretty decent pre-mixes or make our own pre-mixes with generics. of 3 to even 4 effective modes of action, and we can do a pretty decent job if we get our herbicides timed properly in corn to get some season-long control.
Gotcha. All righty. Yeah, you said the A word. That, man, that atrazine, that's been around for 60 years. How long has atrazine been around?
Well, it was one of our first herbicides, so the early 1950s is when it was really commercialized. So we're pushing up against the 70-year mark for being able to use atrazine in corn.
Man alive. And I know that there are groups which would like to outlaw all herbicides, any chemical control of weeds, but atrazine, that's something that's just going to be around for hopefully many more years and be effective?
We would certainly hope so. So it is certainly one that's under the gun. I'd say before 2016, 2017, the extent soybeans, with all that press coverage, atrazine has basically been up there with glyphosate for ones that are at risk of just being targeted for potentially taking off the market. And that's just due to a lot of use. It's very water soluble and persistent, so if we're not careful all around wells and waterways, it could show up in groundwater samples, and that's one of the reasons it's under the radar, or under the gun, I should say. But as far as effectiveness, it's one of the best herbicides that we can use in corn, and it does a really good job of making a lot of the other herbicides we use look even better. So, it's certainly, as long as we have it, it's one of the best tools we can use in corn. I hope that we can certainly make the case to keep in the corn portfolio to help us with weed into the future as well.
Yeah, moving forward, smart use of something as effective as atrazine. We'll keep it around for a while. All right, let's jump over to soybeans. Again, which weed management platforms are starting to be outsmarted by the weeds?
Well, if we kind of look at the national scale, we basically do have resistance to at least in one weed to basically every chemical that we can use in soybeans. We're a little bit more fortunate here locally, but with Arkansas just a couple of months ago announcing they have glufosinate or Liberty-resistant Palmer, that basically kind of took the last mode of action we have without resistance in soybean and struck that one off the list. So we have to be a little bit more strategic with our soybean trait platforms, and like I said, we are fortunate up here that we don't have the issues yet of areas further south, and so we're still getting pretty good utility out of the Xtend system, the Enlist system, which is 2,4-D, and glufosinate as well, Liberty. I'd say as far as soybeans, some of the calls I've gotten in the last 2 years, probably the most widespread, I won't say failures, but we're starting to see slippages with control of water hemp with glufosinate. So some of that glufosinate is very environmentally driven as far as how well it may work on any given day. If it's sunny and hot, we'll get some better activity. And we also need plenty of water and plenty of good coverage. And so there's some of that that goes on. If we just spray when the two largest glufosinate, we'll see some escapes. But that's no resistance that we've been able to confirm yet, but certainly one I get a lot of phone calls on every year.
Yeah, interesting. Also interesting that after about 30 years, the Liberty platform is starting to see some escapes, huh?
Yeah, and it's not really surprising. In some regards, you might say, well, how did it last this long without a lot of resistance? And it's really kind of reflected on use patterns over the years that basically we've gravitated towards other modes of action. And I'm talking on the large scale as a whole. And then as we get back into a corner with some of our weeds, particularly if we look at the pigweeds in areas further south of us, and before we had Xtend and Enlist, Liberty was getting a lot of use. And now as people don't want to spray Xtend for some other various reasons, as Enlist may be difficult to acquire in some areas, then Liberty kind of gets a lot of use again. And so been fortunate to date to not have much resistance, but if we continue to increase our usage of glufosinate, then we'll probably see some more resistance start to pop up.
All right. Again, efficacious or smart use of any one of the weed management tools that farmers have, they will be around for a while as long as you don't, diversity is a good thing. Joe Eichley, NDSU Extension Weed Specialist, thank you very much for the visit. We didn't talk about wheat or pasture weeds. Maybe we can do that again one day.
Oh, you bet, because they're certainly there as well. So we could We could make this a daily segment and never run out of things to talk about.
Weeds, hey, that's job security for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great for Joe, but for farmers, always a challenge. So, Doug, I got to thank you for being around. We'll see you at some field days this summer, Joe.
Yep, you bet, Nick. We're looking forward to see everyone in person again.
Thank you very much for the work you do. We'll talk to you later. Sooner, probably.
Yep, thank you.
All righty.